As we are 6 more days to the end of 2022, and this is the last Lord's Day, not only for this month, but also for this year, and also this is my last Sunday with you, and God willing, I'll be away with Carol for a while, back home in Singapore. And so I thought it good to draw your attention to Psalm 90, which reads, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou formedst the world, the earth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. There is no doubt that the Lord Jesus, that the God of the Bible, this God that whom we believe, has been good and gracious to each one of us, especially to this congregation. During this whole year, and in the past, we have received much from the Lord, isn't it? Both for ourselves, our personal lives, and even for our family members and loved ones. And even those, our family members and loved ones who are outside of the kingdom of God, yet God has been gracious to them in His mercy. And so it is appropriate for us to come before the Almighty God in thanksgiving. And as I said, as we are nearing to the end of the year, and before we commence the new year, it is good for us to spend some time to reflect and to recall and to count our blessings and to give thanks and to pray that the Lord will continue to give us wisdom, the grace that we need for each day for the new year and before we step into the new year. And so to give thanks for the blessings in our lives and to find encouragement and help and strength in His Word. As we will step into the new year soon, God willing. And so here we read of Moses' prayer in Psalm 90, which expresses the acknowledgement, or his acknowledgement, of the eternity and providence of God, who is the God of Israel. And also, as we read in this psalm, he expresses the brevity and misery of man's life on earth, the humble pleading to God in prayer for divine mercy and grace and for the return of God's favor. And how much we need that, isn't it? As we, before we step into the new year, and we realize this in our time in throughout this year, we realize and we learn that without God's help, and without His grace and mercy, we will not be able to go on. And much more, we will not be able to step into the new year without His presence with us. And so it is beneficial to our souls that we slow down. We take some time to slow down in the midst of all this hustle and bustle of life, to reflect and to renew and to pray that the Lord will help us to rededicate and consecrate our lives anew to Him, to walk closer to Him, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to pray more that God, through His Holy Spirit, will form Christ-likeness more and more in us, so that we may live a life that glorifies His holy name, so that we can bear that testimony to those around us who are outside of God's kingdom. And so we are to acknowledge that He is the only eternal God, our Savior, our Lord, our refuge, who deserves all our true worship, and to understand that He has a special interest in each one of His redeemed people, to be reminded of our transitory life on this earth, laden with much care and danger and misery, and to plead, and God is willing to hear. to plead before God for help, for strength, for we are a very needy people, and we must acknowledge that we are weak, and therefore God has availed himself to us, and God has promised to help us, his people, and to strengthen us to face new challenges or new difficulties that may come our way in the new year. And so, our thoughts will be on verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 90. And from here, we first begin with a look. And that is to look back. And then later on, then after that, following that, we will look at the present. And then we look forward into the future. The prayer Moses made begins with, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. This speaks of the sovereign Lord. In Hebrew, the word is Adonai. And it speaks of our time. Our time, our life, our short and brief life in this world, on this earth. And so our first thought is to look back. And that is to say, to look at the past, and I suggest that we consider firstly how God has been our dwelling place in the past. We observe that Moses wrote these words, perhaps while he and the children of Israel were still in the wilderness, wandering as a chastisement from God for their disobedience and their distrust of God. He saw the terrible but the righteous sentence of God to reject a whole generation of people that came out of Egypt except for two men. As we meditate upon this, brethren, or rather, he realized and concluded that they have been in the howling wilderness for a very long time. 40 years is a very, very long time to be in such a terrible place. Yet, though God put them through, punished them, chastised them for their disobedience, wandering in the wilderness, yet God has been a dwelling place for them. Not in their tent, or in the manner that came from heaven, which they received day by day, but they do indeed. They found a resting place in God Himself. The word dwelling place gives us a picture which is not a permanent abode, but a picture of a home, a refuge. It speaks of a place of rest, a place of comfort, a place that is secure and safe from stormy blasts of the weather, a place of warmth, a place where there is peace and support. And so Moses here is affirming that God has been a home, a refuge for the children of Israel, despite their continuous rejection of God's command, despite their unbelief and refusal to walk in God's way. As we look back at our past, each one of us should be able to declare, should be able to number from our hearts, and we should remember that God has been a dwelling place for you in the past. Can we really say that? Is there nothing that you can recall of the Lord's mercy to you in the past? If not, ask yourself how you have come so far to this point of your life. Before you became a Christian, is it not the common grace of God that has preserved you, even though you were still outside of His kingdom at that time? You may not be aware of it. You may not be conscious of it. But God has been gracious to you to grant you health and strength, to grant you the opportunity of study, employment, and all that you needed in this life. And has God not been patient with you, waiting upon you to return or to repent of his sin, to turn to you? Has God not sent friends and others, Christian friends and others, to come to you, to share the gospel, to invite you to say, come to church to hear the gospel, and to allow you to come so far, thus far, in your family life, in your career, in your school life, or in your life of education and study and training, and in your whole life, your life as a whole? Has he not been good? He could have just, or rather, he could have justly assigned you and me to eternal damnation which we deserve. God will be justified to cast each one of us into hell for our rebellion, for our unbelief. Yet he did not do that. But he chose us to show mercy, patience, grace to us. And thus, at this appointed and at his appointed time, he granted us redemption, salvation in his Son, the Lord Jesus. And therefore, can you now say from your heart that the Lord has been a dwelling place for you in the past as you look back? Having considered the past, we move on now to look at the present. Looking back is to help us to see how God had been a dwelling place to us in the past, in his special and providential care over us, which we have already received from his gracious hand. Looking at the present is to see how God continues to watch over us, to care for us, to provide for us, those of us who are his children, with special care and provision of all our needs, both spiritual and our temporal needs. So this is our second thought, to look at God, who is our dwelling place in the present. Moses saw in his continuous journey together with the Israelites the ever-present of God with them. God did not give them up or give up on the children of Israel and forsake them, though they repeatedly, persistently turn their backs to him, rebel against him, reject him. God continues with them in their journey right to the promised land, which he has sworn unto their fathers to give them. The God of the Bible, brethren, as you know it, is a covenant-keeping God. He can never fail in his promise, and he is faithful to the end to fulfill the promises he made to you, who are his people. Do we not see God's faithfulness in keeping his promises, his word to us, which is made in Scripture? Since the time he brought us into this world, he continues with us till this day, patiently and faithfully working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through his Son, the Lord Jesus, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Take a careful look, brethren, take a careful look at your present situation, your present life. Has the Lord failed to preserve you this day, that we might continue to enjoy him, his presence with us, that we might continue to worship him in the beauty of holiness and to have communion with him, and he speaks to us through his word? Think also of the day how, by his grace and mercy, you were brought into the kingdom of God. Before that, you were not conscious of his goodness and his mercy towards you. But when he sent his Holy Spirit upon you, immediately you became aware of his presence. You are conscious of your sin, how you have treated God badly, how you have rejected him and rebelled in unbelief. And remember that he sent his Holy Spirit upon you, and upon you only at that time, not to anyone else. Remember also those times when you struggle in your trials as a Christian. How the Lord give you grace sufficient for you to meet the spiritual challenges each day. And of course, for your spiritual need, He led you to a Bible-believing church where you can receive the Word of God, where you can worship, that where you can receive encouragement and help from fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Is this not a blessing of the Lord? Has He not continued to do that for you? Is it not the Lord's doing that you have been able to be kept close to Him despite your wandering away from His path from time to time due to your stubbornness and your disobedience? The Lord God indeed has been our dwelling place, not only in the past, but He is still our dwelling place in the present. As the psalmist tells us in Psalm 121 verse 4, is the same Lord who continues to walk with us this day with this promise from Isaiah. I read to you, and I'd like you perhaps to turn to Isaiah 43 verses 1 to 2 so that as I read, you can follow along. A very familiar verses there. Isaiah 43 verses 1 to 2. The Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So, brethren, the Lord indeed hath proven Himself to be a faithful God. Faithful in the past, faithful in the present. And this brings us to our final thought. To look ahead, to look forward, which means the Lord is our dwelling place in the future. If the Lord has been our dwelling place in the past, and then in the present, will He not be our dwelling place in the future? Will He right now, in the coming days, cast us away and leave us on our own? Will He do that? Would He who has been with us till this day forsake us now as we will be stepping into the unknown future soon of the new year? I'd like to assure each one of you and even to assure myself from the Word of God, the words of comfort from Deuteronomy 4, 31 to 35, and again, I like you to turn to the passage as I read to you. The book in Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4, verses 31 to 35. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, nor destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For us now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and us from the one side of heaven unto the other. Listen to this. Whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, or had been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and lived? Or have God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt, before your eyes. Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God, there is none else beside Him. For us, yes, we may not have, like the children of Israel, saw the miracles and all that, and how God delivered them by fire, by war and all that, but spiritually, the Lord has delivered us from eternal hellfire. Brethren, I hope you and I can truly say from our heart, just as Moses did, the Lord is my dwelling place. But I want to ask all of us, do you know why? Why Moses is able to affirm that God is his dwelling place, not only in the past and the present, but also in the future? Why? The answer is in verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Brethren, we have a God who has no beginning and no end. Can we fathom that? Can we understand that? It is beyond us. It is because of the eternity of God that Moses was able to say with certainty that the Lord is his dwelling place and the dwelling place in all generations. And again, I'd like to quote to you the Prince of Preachers. Spurgeon says of God in his exposition of this text, and I quote, "If God himself were of yesterday, he would not be a suitable refuge for mortal man. If he could change and cease to be God, he would be but an uncertain dwelling place for his people. This is the Lord God whom the successive generations of men and women, boys and girls, will find a true dwelling place. Can we move forward into the future with God as our dwelling place? Most certainly, for those of us who are purchased by the blood of Christ. Why? Simply because He is God. And we will, simply because before all else, when nothing else was, there is God. When nothing else exists, God already existed. So, brethren, the Lord is our dwelling place, even in the future years, and even for our posterity, because in contrast to our life, our human life, our mortal life, which is short, and will one day end, God is eternal. And that means He lives forever. And just based on this unchanging fact, we can look ahead and move forward with certainty that our Lord will continue to walk with us in the days ahead, as He, in His mercy, give us breath and life and health, and give us the help of His Holy Spirit. And we will continue to be under His special care and providence. Verse 2, I'd like you to note, not only speaks of God's eternity, it also speaks of God's unchangeability. His offer of free grace, He continues to offer. And the abundant grace and the unfailing refuge, support and comfort to His people. To those of us who are truly in the Lord Jesus, and you and I can find great assurance and encouragement in these two verses, that our Lord is not only our dwelling place in the past, present and future, He is also the dwelling place of our next generation to come. I trust that you are much encouraged and comforted to know this. For those who are not His people, you are not found in the sheepfold. These two verses cannot be of comfort to you if you are still outside of the kingdom of God. But this message is a message of terror to you, because these verses also shows us that not only God's people dwell in the Lord, He also, God Himself, dwells in them, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And this we know from the Gospel. When we turn to the other portion of Scripture, and particularly in the New Testament, we find Jesus' teaching, or Jesus teaching this point on dwelling in Him. Where do we find this? I'd like you to turn to John 15 verse 5. John 15 verse 5 reads, "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." It naturally goes to say that if you want to abide or to remain in Christ the Lord and He in you, you must be a child of God, a born-again believer. In other words, you must be found in His kingdom through the Lord Jesus. If you do not believe to belong to Him and as His people, then He cannot be an everlasting God to you. This being the case, you must be an outsider. Therefore, as an outsider, you cannot be in the dwelling place of the Lord. And furthermore, to those who are outside of the kingdom, I would like to bring to your attention the Lord's word in Matthew 25, verses 31-33, Matthew 25:31-33. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all the nations. Every inhabitant of the world will be present before Him, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." And then in the concluding verses of Matthew 25:46, we read there, and this is what Jesus will do to the outsider, those who are not in His sheepfold. Jesus says, "And this shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So, brethren, while we have the chance now, while we have the opportunity, while God is merciful and gracious and long-suffering towards us, let us turn to Him. If we have failed the Lord and fallen in any area of our life, fallen short of His glory, as a Christian believer, remember this, there is always forgiveness. God is willing to forgive. 1 John 1:9 is the promise. Turn back to Him, walk with Him, ask that the Lord will give you strength, particularly ask that the Lord will right now help you to prepare yourselves with His strength to step into the new year. Let those who are outside of the kingdom of God come and seek Him. Come and believe in the Lord Jesus, who promised to be your dwelling place, if only you believe and put your trust in Him. For those of you who are truly in Christ, truly a born-again believer in the Spirit, we can say with Moses as we step into the new year, "Lord, You are my dwelling place." Amen.